Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome. We're on chapter 17, I believe. And we continue on with the prophecies. Again, the purpose of the... There were a lot of prophets at that time, but the idea is that if there's a prophecy that was recorded, that there's some message to us. The challenge always is to figure out what that message is, or at least to some future generation. What happened, we go back and forth to different countries or different different powers. Damascus was the kingdom of Assyria, very much the Assyria, the same place it is today. They had gone in together with the 10 tribes to attack Yehuda, and it didn't work, and they were punished. And here, that's why they're kind of mentioned here with what their fate would be. What happened was the 10 tribes became corrupted, and they started worshiping idols, which is a big tragedy. It started out, originally it was a Jewish idol, so to speak. They set up the kings of Yosef were afraid that the people would go back to Yehuda. And therefore they set up their own temple, their own idol. And initially it wasn't really an idol, it was just a figurehead. The tribe of Yosef was a cow. The cow was the symbol of the tribe of Yosef, so they set up a cow, and they figured that it was kind of innocent. The idea that Judaism would set up their own idol is something that's been repeated throughout history, that we come up with our own religious forms of foreign gods. It's unfortunately, it's not the first time. So, Masa Damascus. This is the Masa means like a burden, or the prophecy for Damascus. Hinei Damasek Musa Meir. The city of Damascus is going to be removed from being a city. It would be sacked, basically. And Vahaisa Me'e Ma'pala, and it'll be ruined. It'll be destroyed. Verse 2. Azuvas Ararer. And this is, Ararer is one of the cities of the 10 tribes. Now, when you have a city, like, you have to go to imagine in the middle of a downtown of a city, imagine seeing like sheep grazing there, you know, in the middle of New York. So in their cities also it was like that. They had walls and they had construction and they were marketplaces. And so to say that that would be returned to a desolate place, today you find the ruins of these cities in farms and in places where there are wild animals grazing, and they dig and they find the ruins of these great cities that used to be. Azubas Ararar Ladorim, that city will be abandoned to the flocks. Urav Subain Machrid, and the sheep and the flocks will go there. No one will chase them away because the cities, the people will be long gone. Verse 3, Vinishbeis Mifsar Me'efrayim. And Ephraim relied on their fortresses. They were very, the 10 tribes, they relied on their strength. They were a very strong kingdom. They were very well fortified. And these fortresses will disappear. And Damascus also, their kingdom will go. Ushar Aram, Bekavu B'nei Yisrael Yia, Num Hashem Sfakos. Like the 10 tribes was really, we were proud of them. They were Yehuda was just the one tribe with the smaller kingdom. But the big, strong Jewish kingdom was represented by the 10 tribes, the pride of Israel, that would go. Verse 4. Vayu b'yomahu yidal kavod Yaakov. The Jewish people would not be happy with the 10 tribes going away. That until then, people thought maybe we were invincible, that we represented Hashem, we came out of Egypt. But a Jew is only the chosen people if he behaves that way, if he's worthy of the distinction of serving Hashem. But the 10 tribes, unfortunately, were not. And so therefore, they went into exile, and the honor of Hashem went with it. Mishem v'sor yirza, and the flesh, became emaciated, like the Jewish people when a part, we're part of a whole. And so it's not time to gloat and say those Jews got what was coming to them, but we have to look at it and say, like, our own flesh is disappearing. And so we're never happy if our fellow Jews, if something happens to them, even if they deserve what was coming to them. During the early stages of the communists, they had a Jewish section called the Yevseka. There's different ways to pronounce it, where there were Jewish communists who their job was to destroy the existing Jewish community. Meaning that the Russians, the communists, Stalin appointed Jews to work on his behalf to destroy the Jewish religion. Because at that point they believed that if they got rid of all religions, then everybody would be communists and we'd all be brothers and there'd be no need for religion. Religion was the opiate of the masses. That was their theory. So there were Jews that did the work of Stalin, and they had the rabbis killed and sent into Siberia. They destroyed the synagogues. They destroyed the mikvahs. They really wiped out Jewish life in Russia. And then, in reward for doing so, they were wiped out by Stalin. I shouldn't say in reward for doing that. Eventually, Stalin got rid of all of his henchmen. In other words, the people who initially he sent to do different jobs, he then had them killed. So people never resented, but it wasn't, we weren't happy that this is what happened to those Jewish communists. In fact, the joke in the prison camps was that the Tsar would be very happy because the Soviet prison camps were full of communists and Jews, just like in the Stalinist, just like in the Tsar's times. He got rid of the early communists also because he saw them as wanting to take away his power. But be that as it may, I'm just saying that we're not happy even when, even though some of our fellow Jews might be doing things that are not good. Recently, there are self-hating Jews out there, and there are Jews that work against our interests. We're never happy, even if they get what they deserve, because they're our flesh and blood. But it does eventually. The 10 tribes were destroyed. Verse 5. V'hayu ke'esav chatzir kama. What he's going to describe here is that. The area where the 10 tribes were, it'll be like a farmer, like harvesting, like when you harvest, you cut up all the everything that's attached gets cut up. If you've ever seen a field after it's been harvested, it looks empty. So that's the way the land of Israel looked at that point. The high ka'as of katzir kama is roi shibolim. It'll be like the harvest season. And there was like nothing left. There'll be very just little remnants here and there. And he describes it here. Vinishabo alelos. There'll be like little leaves. It's almost today, like you go out in the fall, where most of the leaves have fallen off the trees, and there'll be just a few little scattered leaves. That was what was left of the 10 tribes. Were little scattered leaves here and there. Kenokiv Zayas, just like if you cut an olive tree, you'll find two or three berries, or two or three, a little branch here and a little branch there, Besif Tiri Num Hashem. And this remnant later on went back to Yehuda. In other words, when the 10 tribes went into exile and they were destroyed, so little pieces here and there were left, and they went back to the Jewish kingdom. So we today have small branches, small remnants of the 10 tribes amongst us. From the leftovers from that destruction. Why does Hashem bring destruction on people that have sinned, or why did He bring this upon them? Verse 7, Vayomahu Yisha Adam Alasehu. When at some point, when the people saw where their ways had led them, they turned back to Hashem. And that's really the purpose of When a person has bad news, or when they something happens, they should turn to Hashem. And so here, the people, when they saw where their ways had led them to, they had actually joined with the Gentiles to attack their fellow Jews, and they had made Jewish idols. And Hashem had, they put their faith in their fortresses and in their army, and that was all wiped out. So on that day, the people would return to Hashem. Yisha Adam Alasehu. The person will go. The Hebrew is very interesting over here. Asehu, the one that made them, their maker. Aseh is to do. The one that had made them. The Einav, and their eyes, El Kadosh Yisrael Tereno, they'll look to the holy ones. They always made fun of the, you know, the people from Yehuda were more pious, were more religious. And in a time of trouble, those same people will come to you. We all have that, where we have our relatives that are, you know, that don't go to shul as often as we do, and then all of a sudden they ask us to pray for them. I don't know, I get that. I don't know. That's the, they turn to us in a time of trouble because hopefully they, I mean, even they understand that there is a link that we try to connect, that we try to be we try to connect to Hashem. Verse 8, for lo yisha el mizbeho, and they invested very heavily into their altars and into their idols, masa yadu, and those things were things they made themselves. They made their own gods. They made up their own things. They made up their own religion. And when trouble came, they knew they couldn't go to those statues, and they'd be of no use. The funny thing about the Jews were they never really believed in those idols. They, even though they set it up, it was more convenient. We find that today as well, that you run into many people, Jews, that they have, I pray like this and I pray like that, but they don't believe in it. They know it's all, you know, show or whatever. It's something they created. By definition, you can like Orthodoxy or not like Orthodoxy, but it's nothing that we create. We go by the book. That's all. You know, we've had this book for 2,000 years. Came at Sinai. We believe it came from. And we try to do what it says there. We don't make it up. We can't make a committee and say, well, we don't like this rule and we should change that rule and, you know, do what we feel like. It's nothing that we created. It was handed down to us from our forefathers, and we hope to give it over to our children that way. But the 10 tribes, they won't be able to turn to what they made. Vasher asu etzbosav, the things that their fingers made. Lo yira vasherim vachmanim. They had the asherim, which were the trees. I wonder today, you know, one of the reasons why we have it against the Christmas tree is it reminds us so much of the idol trees. It was they used to worship the trees. They would. The truth is that many people feel the Christmas tree is a remnant from when they used to worship the trees. Even though you know today in America everything becomes business and holiday and there's no real meaning to it, and so if there's no meaning to it, maybe it's not so bad, and you can have a Hanukkah bush and you know, things like that. They're not going to be able to turn to those bushes and those trees at that time. The other thing it mentions here is something called Hachamanim, the sun images. I'm not sure if that was like the you know, they have in England where they have those stones where they see the like a sun. Stonehenge or something like that. Something to doing to worshiping the sun. They had religions that worship the sun. That's my guess. I don't know.
Here it says images made like chariots.
Oh, really?
In honor of the sun.
And oh.
And it gives a code of where you could.
I see. Okay. Mentions over there. All right. I'll have to look over. So he says that they had a certain kind of chariot. We had before where they used to. The Gentiles would have horses that they would ride into the sunrise. There was a certain sun worship that they had. But all of those things, the trees and the sun worship, that would all be gone. Verse 9. Ba'yomahu on that day, ye ori mu'uzo. Now they had these cities of strength. They had their... it's very interesting today. You can go and look at... in Europe, they used to have the Maginot Line, which was they invested in these big fortresses that they thought would protect them and last forever. And so what happened? They just went around.
They lasted like 24 hours.
Right. You have to put your faith in Hashem, like, because all other things are just temporary, you know. That's the so they put their faith in their cities, Orim Uzo, cities of strength. They had these big, strong, mighty cities, because it was a chorus. And they were just like trees that were abandoned. Va'amer Asher Ozvu Zne B'nei Yisrael. They became abandoned, and they were destroyed. Why did this happen? Verse 9. Ki shachachta Elohei Yishech. Because they forgot Hashem, the God of their salvation. They put their faith in the army. They put their faith in the fortresses. But they forgot that the strength of the Jewish people is Hashem. It's interesting. It says they forgot. Like, they really knew, but they forgot. They just didn't think about it. The Tzur. And Hashem we describe as our rock. We go through, you know, especially today, where technology changes and the world changes, and there's different governments come and go, and different things happen. There's one thing in life that's a constant, and that's Hashem. That's what it means, a rock. In those days, you had a big rock; it wasn't going anywhere. It was going to be there forever. You could give directions by the big rock, because that was going to be there. The Stone Mountain, right? It's going to, you know, you tell somebody it's going to be there tomorrow. So Hashem was the rock. He's the one that doesn't change and is going to be there. And he's Mu'uzeh. He is the real strength. Not the fortress, but Hashem is our rock. Lo Zacharta, they didn't remember. Okay, therefore, Niti Nitai. Hashem says that at first I planted you there, and I planted you there Nemanim, like very sweet, pleasant. Life was each person lived in a vineyard. Each person had their olive tree. It's like air conditioning. Each person they had shade, and they had trees, and they had nice things. Hashem allowed it was pleasant while it lasted. In other words, Hashem said, it's almost like a plant that was uprooted. First, the plant was there and it was growing and it was pleasant. It was more azar, and all of a sudden you're going to be pruned out. In other words, we were planted there in the land of Israel, and things were very pleasant. And along would come a stranger and uproot us. And that's how he's describing what happened to the 10 tribes. That a stranger would come and uproot us to Zarenu, and he's going to be there. But Yom Nitek Tishagshegi. That's a great word. On the day of the planting. Now, why, if we were planted, he's describing the Jewish people, that we were planted in Israel and everything should be good. So it says the word tisag segi. What does that mean, tisag segi? So seems like that when we started off, we got mixed up. From the day of the planting, we got mixed up and mingled. Something doesn't grow straight in the beginning, it's not going to straighten out later. And so the 10 tribes from the very beginning were mixed up to Sagsegi. They are... Sometimes I feel like if you listen to the Hebrew, you can get a feeling of what the word means. You know, it just has a certain ring to it. Ubaboka Zerek Tafrichi. And in the morning you blossomed. Nade Katsir, but by the harvest, it was b'yom nachla koiv enush. It was a big pain. Things were bad. Because since we started off from the beginning, we got all mixed up. Then in the end, it was really bad. Now, this is the prophecy, and he's describing really the downfall of the 10 tribes. And that's what happened to the 10 tribes, that they were uprooted, and they were strangers would come and would uproot them, and our big cities would be destroyed, and the honor of Israel would go lost. And the people, it's interesting, had they turned to Hashem at that time, then there would have been a remnant that would have been saved. When we're descended from the kingdom of Yehuda, that's why we're called Jews, from Judah, when the temple was destroyed, we had sinned and had deserved to be destroyed, but we turned to Hashem in the destruction, and we turned back to our Creator. And we were able to pick up the pieces because we turned back to Hashem. We picked ourselves up, and that's really the power of the Jewish people, is that we pick ourselves up and we rebuild, and we turn. We make mistakes, but we fix them. We turn back. But the ten tribes, as he says over here, that they didn't turn back enough, or some of them did, and some of them came back, but they were destroyed. Now, there were many nations that came and conquered the ten tribes. So one of those things is that when Hashem has to punish us, those that are the tool for punishing us will get punished also. In other words, those nations which were used to punish us, they are going to be wiped out. And that's what happened, with the Germans. You know, they came and they were supposed to be the thousand-year Reich, and they punished the Jewish people, and then they were very quickly they were destroyed. They were devastated. Yeah.
But you say on the other hand that the people that are in those countries surrounding Israel today are the same people when they moved around.
Right, the same Middle Eastern tribes and things, right.
So how are they destroyed?
Well, they had big civilizations and cities, and now they're just a hodgepodge, a bunch of tent peoples, and it's no civilization, and they had cultures and civilizations built up, and they had sciences and arts, and at some point they were. Today, part of the problem in the Arab world is they haven't had a renaissance in hundreds of years. In other words, the societies are on a decline. At one point, they were growing and advanced and in many areas, and now they've gone back to the Middle Ages. You know, you go to the Arab lands, and they're with the donkey still. You know, and so there's very little for them to be proud of. They have nothing to look up to. But this subject, though, is those that are used as a tool to punish others. This is a lesson also. It's like a person should never volunteer to be the executioner. That's not a good job, you know, to be the hangman or to be the tool that Hashem is going to use to punish someone else, because sometimes a person's own turn comes around. So over here, Hashem is speaking to those nations, and they get a hoy. This is a hoy with a certain expression. It sounds like oi, hoi, whoa, you know, those nations that were used to punish the ten tribes. So they might think they did a great thing. They, you know, they punished the ten tribes, but they did it for the wrong reasons. And they did it with cruelty, and they are going to get theirs. Whoa, hoi, hamon, amim, rabim. And, you know, there were a lot of nations that were just so happy to join in and to destroy the ten tribes. Those many peoples. Kahamun yamin, just like the seas, you know, when you're in the water and you see wave after wave coming, that's how those nations joined in they all came on board when they wanted to fight against the Jewish people. Ushon la'umim, there was like a rush of waters, kishon mayim kabirin yishon. 13, la'umim kishon mayim rabim yishon, the nations, they came forward, they rushed over to attack. The Garbo, Manasmer, and those nations will now be destroyed. And they'll be destroyed from... They thought that they were all joining in this together. Somebody from afar would come, and he will chase after them and destroy them. And they will be like the chaff. Harim was neighbor that gets blown in front of the wind. Ukagalgo is Nesufa. Or like the... this one says the thistle blossoms before the tempest. I don't even know what that is. What's the thistle?
This is whirling dust.
Uh-huh. Something that blows in the wind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thistle is a plant.
Uh-huh.
And sharp. Yeah, blows sharp, but it's also, you know, the wind like...
blows them around, or...
Yeah, you know, it's like dust particles, you know, that fly off.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. So that's what's going to become of those nations, that they'll be like the thistles, they'll get blown around.
I think your pollen...
the power gets blown around. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Ace Erev, and towards nighttime, he made Bala. They'll be Bahala, like Bala, which means like fear. The Teraboker Einanu. And before the morning is there, they'll be gone. Zeh Chelech Shosenu. Those that punish us, this is what they're going to get. The Goro Lezenu. And that's what the people that were the spoilers, that's going to be their lot. So we're going to be punished if we don't do teshuva, if we don't return to Hashem. But those people that punish us, who are really not better than us, Their time will come and they will be despoiled. And so that's the prophecy that he says here. Okay, chapter 18. You know, I guess we'll stop here. I don't want to prepare it well so we can go through it.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.